Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, traders and investors. Welcome to Wednesday's edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm Joel Elkanen with Dennis Dick and a special guest today, Luke Jacoby, who runs operations here at Benzinga, sitting in for young Spencer, who's on vacation. Today's show, we'll talk about oil reaching $60, the copper also at its highest level since July 2014. A retail breakout, a new blockchain stock for you, and also review some news on why. Taking a look here at the S&P 500 index futures, trading in the green only by a half a point. We had only a 3-point range last night, 90 and a quarter, 87 and a quarter. We may spend the whole day in the 80 handle. Crude oil futures, we got to pull up that chart, hit 60.01 yesterday. If 60 was your long-term target, you got it by a penny. We're backing and filling now, but we'll check out the implications here for the crude oil market. Gold continues its relentless move towards 1,300, trading up 60 cents at 1,288.10. Silver up 5 cents here at 1,665. Dennis, how you doing on this Wednesday morning?
Just chilling. Very, very cold Wednesday morning. It's cold. Snowy, right. cold.
All right. I want to give Luke the proper introduction here, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. The proper introduction was Luke graduated University of Michigan, and the same year as my daughter, okay? He was number one in the class. My daughter was number two in the class. Okay. So that's how smart Luke is, but he follows the markets here for Benzinga, does a lot of different things, and we're glad to have him on the show today. Luke, how you doing?
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me. It took a lot of convincing for me to get Joel to let me onto the show. So I'm glad to be here. I said I'd come prepared with plenty of opinions. I said I'd read up on my crypto, I'd read up on my stocks, but you said copper earlier. I don't have any opinions on that one.
Okay. All right.
So. You got opinions on blockchain? You're still in the Bitcoin, aren't you, Luke?
You know what? Last week, I dumped out of most of it.
You're a seller. You're one of those insiders that have been selling too.
I pulled out my principal or about 1.5 times my principal, which wasn't much. And I'm just taking the rest of it and letting it, you know, having fun in some other currencies. So,
What other cryptos are you picking on now?
All right, so I've got Ethereum, we've got Augur, which is REP, and I got another small one, TRX.
What's TRX? What's that one stand for?
I don't even know, to tell you the truth, Dennis. That's how much fun I'm having in it.
And he also, you found a new one that may be having tokens for gentlemen's establishments. Did you say that?
Correct. Yeah, I got an email yesterday for a coin called Datecoin. I did some reading on their website. They're having an ICO, and it sounds like it's for some sort of escort service in the EU.
Wow. So, the escort coin.
Yeah.
Score coin, I guess you could
score
call it.
Coin.
Score points. Wow. Wicked tangent here.
It's real quick, Luke. Just you took your money off Coinbase, right? We were having this discussion, and I think they charged you $50 for it. I know. What was it? What prompted that move? Or, you know, was it a hassle getting it out of there? I know both me and you, when the thing's been going crazy, we both tried to sign on. And, you know, we're like getting locked out and stuff. What made you finally like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm paying the $50 and moving out of Coinbase.
Yep. Yeah. Again, what it was.
What's the $50 stop? What's the $50 you have to pay?
So in order for me to pull like $1,500 of Bitcoin out of Coinbase, it cost me $50 to do it. The first time was because I'd never transferred it to another wallet before. So I just wanted to do a small, you know, $10 amount. And that was a $24 fee. And then to do the rest of it was another $24 fee. So I paid $24 or something like that upfront to buy it, and then another $50 to pull it out of there.
Holy cow, Coinbase is making a ton of money. This sounds like commissions back in the 1980s.
Yeah, Coinbase is making a lot of money.
How do we invest in Coinbase? That's where we should be investing, because they're the ones making the money here.
Yeah, more accounts than Schwab, no kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
That's incredible. That's incredible in a, you know, this digital age where you're supposed to have these Bitcoins that are transaction fee, yet to sell it, it's going to charge you $50.
Yeah, I thought that was the point, was that it's easy to transfer, easy to use, cheaper than using, you know, PayPal or some other sort of service.
This seems keeps getting worse and worse every time I hear more and more about it. But, you know, I can't argue with the price. It's still holding up here. Well, there's a lot of people that are believers here, but yeah, not all of the places where you buy and sell this are going to charge you these $50 fees, are they? Is this just a Coinbase fee?
I believe so. When I put it onto a different exchange, it was significantly cheaper. You know, maybe
there's similar rules. I know Jeff is doing some ARB, and if you add liquidity, you don't pay a commission. So there's different exchanges.
They want liquidity providers.
Yep, exactly.
High frequency guys get in there. They'll be commission free.
Real quickly, Bitcoin, we're calling for that 50% retracement. You did get it yesterday from over 20,000 to 11,800. I had 16,000 pegged as the 50% retracement. You got a little bit over it yesterday, but you're hanging at 15,885 for, so that's my major number right now, 16,000 here in Bitcoin. Seller below, buyer above, if you can work the pivot like that. But we got some big movers today. Luke, what's the news on Watt?
All right, ticker WATT, Whiskey Alpha Tango Tango. This one's pretty cool. The company got FCC approval for wireless charging. And I'm not talking about the wireless charging that you see in a Samsung commercial where you put your phone on a disc and it charges it. According to their website, if you install this device in your home, you can charge your cell phone, your laptop, etc., from up to 15 feet away. So pretty cool technology. If you can imagine, you're sitting, you know, on your couch, you've got their little
transmitter. This is probably always charging.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. No cords. You don't have to worry about where you're sitting or dragging a cord across the room, etc. So pretty cool technology. You know, does it live up to what they say it does? I don't know. But the market's obviously liking it.
A wireless age.
Yeah. You can buy your
Now we don't have wires even to charge your iPhones and iPads. Get rid of all the wires.
Maybe that's the move. Short the wire stocks.
Yeah, anything that's wired. We don't need wires anymore. Energis, is that how we say the company's name? Energis?
Brentster, Energis.
It's a cool ticker symbol, Watt, but how do you say Energis, I'm going to say?
We'll just go with Watt. How do you pronounce the name of that corporate?
Watt's better. They should change their name to Watt because they got the cool ticker symbol. Okay. It's up 100% here on this news. I'm not chasing it.
1885. I know Aviator One was in here buying it a little bit ago. Spencer mentioned a 32% short interest. They are getting walloped now.
Spinner. That Spinner's mentioning that.
Spinner. Okay. 1885. 1810 is your.
But if you pull that chart back a little bit, Joel, if you look at like a 1 year chart, I don't know what's been going on over the past year, but stock's got some room to make up.
Yeah, but you look at it here, though, Luke, and in my opinion, I look at it out on the weeklies like you're talking about. You had multiple highs right around $20. You get the big psychological level. You're approaching it. So now I look at a risk return. Okay, it's up 9 points here, going from 884 up to 1815. It could have room to 20. You know, and I can see it in there. What's the pre-market high?
1885's just printed it on the last bracket.
So there's room to 20, but now you're like, okay, you're going to try to get that last dollar out of it, you know, and risk, you know, there's a lot of risk here. So I don't know what your thoughts are, but 20 looks like a brick wall to me up there. And imagine you were in this thing in the last year and a half. You've been sitting on this loser the whole year. You've been looking at this thing on tax loss selling days saying, hey, this thing's at $8 here. I'm going to rack up some of my losses here for the taxes. And all of a sudden it's a huge gainer. I'd be selling the hell out of this thing today if I owned it. I'll tell you that. But, you know, that's my opinion here. I think there's room to 20, but I'm not coming in for the last buck. I think there's more downside than upside at this price.
Ed Parker pointing out open interest in the Watt calls expiring in January 18.
Jimmy A with a point there too in the chat. If the Watt announces it will charge using blockchain, that all bets are out. That'd be $100.
Yeah.
blockchain. We had another blockchain stock too. We'll get to that one second.
Okay. 2055, that's your all time high. Haven't reached that yet in the pre-market. 1885 is your pre-market high. I'd use, 19.5, 20, 20.5. I don't know what your basis is in this thing if you're owning it. I'd use it to exit along. I don't know about trying to shorten this with the huge short interest, but you know there's going to be some wicked downturns in this stock today. I'm not trying to pick where that downturn's coming, but
I picked it, $20.
$20?
I don't know if it's getting there, but I'll tell you, anything in the 19s, I think that's the turning point. $20 tops this thing out. Calling it. I'm trying to call it top.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Now, what was our new blockchain stock for today?
Luke, you got it in front of you there?
Yeah, it's NVHC?
NVFY.
There you go.
Close, though. NVFY. Nova Lifestyle. This came out at 7:45 here this morning, and it says Nova Lifestyle to launch designer customer digital community based on blockchain technology. That's what you need, based on blockchain. So you're going to pop, but you know what? These things aren't popping like they used to, and here we are. Okay, yeah, it's up 18%, but we're not getting the 400, 500%. Of course, they didn't change their name. I guess if they were to change their name, it would have been different, but based on blockchain technology, getting a pop. But it's starting to become more muted, the pops here. High looks like what, Joel? 339 I got?
Yeah, we just printed 339 here back.
Oh, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
15 minutes ago.
Yeah, 297. They threw some volume around on this one, too. You did have a spike into the $3 handle. 310 was your high back in November. But, boy, that might even be your number, 310 to 340, possible sell area here. Leaking a little bit. If things really get crazy in this when the liquidity comes in, keep an eye on 389.
I think the high is in 339. That's what I'm calling. You want to make a bet? I think the high is in.
What do you think, Luke? Should we book a lunch bet?
No, you guys go ahead and make the bet. And
Luke,
I've
got
a question about what exactly.
You want a piece of this action? Throwing it out there for you too, Luke.
It's not going over 339.
Oh, Luke's on my side.
Okay. All right, Luke. What did you want to? What do you want to bring in here?
The Heisen.
So this company is a furniture company. I know that we had an iced tea company that moved into the blockchain.
This one's a furniture one?
It's a furniture one. I'm on their website right now. They're selling me a couch. And so it says the launch of a digital community to deliver products and user experience built on blockchain. So, I mean, does that mean my couch is going to be tracked through the blockchain, or am I buying a digital couch now?
I think that I'm glad I didn't take the other end of that one, Dennis. Of all these companies, you could drink digital iced tea on your digital couch and not have to worry about about charging anything, because the blockchain will take care of it.
Blockchain is going to solve all of our problems. I'm telling you.
And Lou,
the blockchain. You know, we don't worry about the energy issues here. Well, we're going to need a lot more energy if everybody's moving to blockchain, because obviously the energy hog. But nobody worries about that. We're just worried about the technology of the blockchain. So. Anyways, it's 293 here, pre-market. It's already come in. The luster on these pops has been fading. Look at IGC. So you had the Long Island Iced Tea Company that got the ridiculous pop, and that was like basically going to be the best one of them all when it went from 2 to 15. You're not going to see pops like that anymore. Didn't even close so that day. It's back down to $5 here now. Eventually, like I said, I think that's been lower. NBFY doesn't get nearly – or IGC yesterday – doesn't get nearly the pop, that the other ones have been getting. It went from 79 cents up $1.06. So it doubled. But it's come right back in, $1.26 here now, and $1.32. It's starting to come back in. And now you look at this one, only up 17%. These are starting to get a whimper. And, we said this last week on the show. As more and more companies are doing this, they're not going to get the pops that they were getting before, because people aren't going to be as excited, because it's not as special when every little company is coming out and just mentioning blockchain, trying to get their stock to triple in price. Well, they should have been doing that. The first few that were doing that were getting the triples. You're not getting it now. So NVFY, I think this thing, you know, maybe continues even to leak from here. I think the high of the day is.
All right. And another blockchain stock, DPW. Is this Blockchain Digital Power?
Yeah, I think you could say that.
But this one's been popping for a couple of weeks already, so they must have had some news before too.
Yeah, yeah, they've had a series of news coming out. You know, this morning they said they're adding co-locations. They're trying to get to 10,000 miners. I think they do a technology for mining your own, you know, digital currencies. The news today that moved the stock didn't seem super material. So maybe a similar trend there too, where we see this one pulling back throughout the day.
Trading up 32 cents at 448. That's up 7.5%. Yesterday's high. We're above it right now, 445 and 440. Those are your highs in the last two sessions. So you need to hold that as support. Your three-day high is 531 with a little gap to fill here at 465. So once again, a little bit of a muted reaction here in Digital Power Corp. And Chili Trader mentioned TEUM. I saw this one flying around here. This one had a nice move, went to 393. Is this blockchain related as well?
Yeah, this is blockchain related too. So there's been a few of them. That was one yesterday, obviously. Just keep an eye on your Benzinga Pro there. And maybe, you know, Luke can give us, he's going to give some tips later on the Pro as well, just to show you how to better utilize it and to be able to find stocks like this in your Pro. But, you know, let's not talk all these blockchain stocks all day. Okay. If we get another one, we'll break in as quickly as we can to let you know about it. You know, we got our eyes there. Luke's watching. I'm watching. Joel's, everybody's watching the Pro there for this next blockchain headline. But in the meantime, we do have other companies actually in the news. And, you know, just want to talk quickly Tesla here, because TSLA, we had Nick Shaheen on yesterday. We were talking a bit. And it started to break down yesterday. Now you get KeyBank this morning coming out. They are lowering estimates for it as well. So Tesla under a little bit more pressure here is again. TSLA, what are your thoughts here technically, Joel, as we start to break down and get back the majority of the early month gains?
Let's see here. We're trading down a $1.69 at 315.80, coming hard off the 340 level. 311. That piques my interest here. Two lows, 311.05 and 311.26. That was a double bottom. After that, you look for that key $300 area. But I'd be interested here if it gets down to 311. I think just a price target change really doesn't change that much in Tesla. And as long as Gene Munster is a long-term bull, I'm a long-term bull in Tesla.
I mean, Gene, you know, is all over everything. What were we going to say, Luke?
Yeah, I'm just going to hop in and say Elon Musk was on a tweeting frenzy yesterday, middle of the day, came out and said that they've got the most advanced AI neural network. He said he promises that they're going to make a pickup truck right after the Model Y, and that there's going to be a big focus on solar and batteries in the upcoming year. So, sounds like three primary focuses.
How does this guy not sleep? Because here he is on the weekend. He's launching rockets, you know, lighting up the whole California sky there. You know, and I saw the pics. There were awesome pics of that rocket launch. But, you know, he's got this cooking, you know, the rocket launching, the Tesla cooking. He's talking, you know, other ideas too. I mean, does he not sleep?
It doesn't sound like it. I mean, based off of some of these conference calls I've heard of him, where he sounds like he's about to fall asleep while he's reading off Tesla's earnings, you know, I can see what he prioritizes.
Did you know he was dating Johnny Depp's ex-wife?
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah, they may be getting back together. So you can tell what I was doing yesterday. We had a real busy day here in the markets. I did see that come across.
How does he have time for even dating?
No kidding.
This guy, man, he does everything. He married the same woman
and got divorced.
Must be good at multitasking.
Correct?
He's like you, Luke. He's really good at multitasking.
There we go.
Veritech, him and the wife drove a Tesla, and they want one here. So I guess you got to put your deposit down and wait. At the top of the show, I mentioned a big milestone here in the crude oil market. If $60 was your target and you had an order out at $60, good thing about the commodities markets is you got filled. $60.01 was the high. I believe there was some news out in the morning about a little bit of production problems in Libya, and it took a while really for it to come to the market. But finally, the bots ran with it, hit $60, backing off here, traded down 43 cents at 59.54. Looking at a long-term chart here, Dennis, oil back to $60. I mean,
it's the one thing that I have been actively adding to my investment portfolio. It's not oil itself, but the oil stocks. And you know, I obviously don't have a Canadian background there, so I've added a lot of Canadian oil stocks too. I just think they were cheap. You know, there was a lot of them, relatively speaking. If we start ever getting back to $70, $80 oil, you're going to be really happy that you've been buying, you know, a lot of these oil stocks down here on the lows. And, you know, there's just a ton of them you can, you know, go and look at there. Not the Chevrons. I feel like they've run so much there. But, you know, we talked about on this show just a couple of weeks ago how Schlumberger had all the support around 61, 62 bucks SLB. And now it's kind of blasted off here. You know, Halliburton, same story. They're similar. They moved together, but had nice support down in the lower 40s. And, you know, if you want to jump and, you know, start looking at some Canadian ones there too, that'll start to look interesting. The two big Canadian ones are Suncor, which is SU, and then also CNQ, which is Canadian Natural Resources. Those are two big guns there as well. But there's just, you know, there's hundreds of these companies if you want to go and start just look around. I've been adding ETFs to it as well. So I've been trying to increase my energy exposure because, you know what, I think oil's back.
And any drillers or anything in there?
I don't like the drillers are the scary because, you know, it's still those companies obviously, you know, really got hit hard because they're pulling out of the ground and they weren't making money. So you can look, you know, they've come back like a Transocean is, you know, when you think of obviously right away rig. But really when you put it in perspective, rig's all-time high, well, and even the 10-year high, I think it was higher than that. It was back at $85. But I think if you go further than back than that, I can
163.
Remember. 163, it's 10 bucks. I mean, those are higher risk ones. So, and the drillers, you know, if we come back, yeah, sure, there might be more upside on those. But I've been just kind of going on the companies that I think, you know, if, even if oil does take another downturn, that they're going to be okay. So this isn't trading. This isn't swing trading. This is my long-term investment portfolio. And I just got a bad taste for the drillers. I had some ring on the way down, lost money. And I said to myself, I'm not buying drillers anymore. So I stick, you know, with kind of, you know, the better companies. I like ExxonMobil still here. I think it's a laggard. I think it's a company that looks like it's ready to break out here. I don't know why it's lagged Chevron so much. But, you know, you look at this thing just bumping its head up against the wall, $84 multiple times. If it could ever break out, you know, get up to that 85, it'd be in breakout mode there. And then you start thinking about 90s. So I don't mind the ExxonMobil chart here either. I think on pullbacks here, I'm not chasing any energy stocks, but on pullbacks, I like them. And I've just been accumulating over the course of the last couple of months a lot of energy stocks. I'm happy I did because obviously oil over 60 now is helping them.
Yeah, and I'll hop in here too and say some of these stocks are paying some serious dividends. You got BP at 5.7%, ExxonMobil 3.7%, and Shell over there also at 5.7%. I've personally held BP for probably about 2 years now. The stock's up 30-35%, plus yeah. I'm pulling in, you know, 6% dividend for 2 years.
Yeah,
that's huge.
It's not bad.
I mean,
at all.
We talk about that on maybe not as much on the show, maybe over the last couple months. And that's just, Dennis, that's been a method of investing for me and you for, you know, 20 some years. And yeah, we maybe not have the Amazons and maybe, you know, miss out on some of these other stocks. But I tell you, you know, during 2000 to 2010, you know, some of these stocks that were paying me 3-5%, man, oh man, I was happy to see, you know, at least eking out some kind of money in portfolio. And here you are. Go ahead.
Where we outperformed, and my portfolio outperformed, was during the financial crisis because you had so many companies that, you know, getting murdered, and, you know, all the growth stocks just getting murdered, and even in the tech wreck, and, you know, those companies, you know, a lot of the ones that held dividends held up a lot better. So I've always liked dividends. If you're going to underperform, if you've got a dividend-heavy portfolio, you are going to underperform in the last few years, no doubt about it, because growth has been in favor. But in the last couple of months, it's starting to turn. It's, you know, and it cycles. And I just think, you know, over the course of time, I've always said, you know, if you look at the markets last 100 years, it gets 7-8% maybe in the long run. Well, if I can get 6-7%, you know, in a dividend type of stock, that's almost, you know, I'm getting like the market's return in the long run without the risk or with a lot less risk. And that's why I've always kind of played it that way. So I've just slowly tried to build my wealth. just by, you know, and dividends. And you know, and we know the companies I've talked about. I mean, we've talked about them, you know, multiple times. And obviously, you know, in this type of market, you know, that's they've been out of favor. But some of them have held up well, too. I mean, the AT&T and Verizon have been incredible performers in the last month or two here. I mean, this is a big move for AT&T. It almost makes me want to sell it.
I know.
I see these crazy moves like this up. And a lot of times I do that, even in my investment portfolio. When I'm trading the preferred stocks and I put them in there, when they start to get up to 7% dividends, that's when I'm buying them. When they start to get down to like 5s and 6s, I usually sell them, and they kind of cycle. So they go through, you know, these periods of, you know, where people are worried about interest rates going up all of a sudden. They'll hit the prefs on that. And those are opportunities usually. And then people aren't worried about interest rates, or they actually think interest rates are going to go stable, and the prefs will start rallying again because they're traded like bonds. And, you know, that's some time usually when you lighten them up. So lots of opportunities to trade this stuff even, you know, from a longer-term perspective.
Jimmy A. asking, what if the next crash is a dividend crash? So I guess...
Well, that can happen. Yeah. I mean, if you think inflation, the reason that would happen is if you get crazy inflation coming in all of a sudden. And if Bitcoin's coming in, that would be... You know, if Bitcoin's going to take over the world, you could get a lot of inflation if you're making millionaires out of nothing. So, you know, there's a consideration there. And if inflation took off all of a sudden and interest rates started to fly and we couldn't control interest rates and they started to go up to 10, 12, 15, 20%, my dividend portfolio would get crushed. But I'll tell you what, there's going to be a lot of people losing their houses. Going to be a lot. You're going to have so many problems if interest rates ever went up to 10, 15, 20%.
Not happening.
The whole economy collapsed. So I'm not going to be the only person in trouble. I'm betting that interest rates are not going to 10, 15%. Anytime in the near future, and I don't know if they're ever going up that high again. You know, not if the government can control it, because, you know, if we lose it, you know, obviously long term there's nothing you can do about it, you know, but for the most part, the government's pretty good at, you know, smoothing and controlling rates. And you know, I just don't think that they can raise interest rates. And that's why the dividend stocks continue to, you know, if you're going to get 2% or 1% in your investment account, I'd rather get 6 or 7% of preferred stock.
I just want to address one question here, kind of jumping around here from the YouTube chat. What do you think of China extending its tax rebate for electric vehicles? I mean, I don't know if that's the most relevant news. It's going to move something like Tesla, but I guess it could be good news, right?
I know nothing about that, so I don't know anything. That's a recent headline. I don't follow. There's so many headlines coming out all the time. I don't know anything about it. I'm not in China, so it doesn't affect me directly there.
You're
but I mean, if extending rebates, it can't hurt it. It can't hurt it. I mean, just in perspective, just to, you know, like I can, you know, say, you know, there's rebate programs in Canada for electric cars. And I went and bought an electric car originally, you know, a hybrid car, because I got a rebate. So they were paying me back in the day, I think it was a $2,000 rebate. This was about, you know, 7 years ago when I bought my first hybrid. And if you bought one, you got a $2,000 rebate from the Canadian government for buying a hybrid car. And I was like, well, that's attractive. So, you know, when you're paying a little bit more for these things, but when you can get a, you know, a nice rebate from the government, it helps. So that doesn't hurt.
All right. Let's talk about the breakout in retail stocks yesterday. We were talking about XRT. And in this one, if you blinked, you missed it. It had had that resistance. Let's go to the daily chart. I look at the XRT. A lot of these stocks look the same. But the XRT, I mean, that is a perfect formation here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 highs right at the exact same area, right at 45.50. Open 45.56, and if you missed that opening print, well, you could have chased it and went up all the way to 46.19. So a move up, a consolidation, another consolidation, and another move up here in the retail sector. Dennis, me and you were looking for some laggards. I mean, we could look at the Macy's that gave you all time, that, you know, a lot of time to buy it under 20. We can look at Kohl's that had a big move yesterday. Target had a big move yesterday. But you think it's okay to dip your toe in the water in this Under Armour here? And I got the UAA chart, Dennis. And, should we try?
Valuation's an issue for me. I'm not dipping my toe because, first of all, if you look at some of these other valuations on these retailers, they're cheap. Under Armour, I don't even believe pays a dividend. First strike against. The secondly is it was always one of the overpriced ones there. So it's come back a long ways. Yes, it's been a laggard, but I think for good reason here, really. Like, What I always liked best is Kohl's. I was on when, you know, and talking about this when the thing was $40, and I said, I don't really like any of the retailers because they've been out of favor for so long, but the one I liked the most was Kohl's. It's been one of the best performers, there's no doubt about it, up at $56.87 here now from $40, so a month and a half. It has been an incredible comeback for all of the traditional box retailers. You know, we had these things, you know, not me and Joel personally, but just saying the market had these things basically like they were all going out of business. And, you know, I was arguing with her. I was like, I don't know what's happening because, you know, when you're seeing Macy's down to $15 and Kohl's trading down to $35, you know, Target getting down to mid-50s, you're like, what's going on? You look at them, Al Brands was trading with a 7% dividend when it got down to $35. That was one that I did buy, and I obviously got out of it way too soon. I know my brother-in-law bought some too, and he got out of it too soon as well. But I did not see a rally of this magnitude. I thought that they were cheap, and I bought some of them back then. They had a nice run, and I rang the register, but I rang the register way too early because these things have been an absolutely incredible run. That Al Brands, LB, has went in 3 months, has went from $35 to $62. So you're talking about an 80% move here in an old traditional retail. You're talking about these stocks coming, you know, back and getting, you know, some of them in some cases, like a Lululemon. You're talking about these stocks approaching all-time highs. That's getting overdone to me because I still think there's a lot of long-term issues here. So I think if you're coming in here now, you are way late to the party. But I thought you were late to the party last week, and now we're breaking out here again. So if you're short-term, this is a breakout. Now I think you got buyers here on pullbacks, at least in the short-term. Long-term, I don't know if I'm buying Macy's at $27 when I could have bought it last month at $17. But, you know, if you think, you know, it's turning it all around, these are all going to get, you know, businesses that are going to compete with Amazon, websites going to compete with Amazon, they're all going to go the Walmart way and be able to compete, then, you know, maybe there's an argument. So, again, from a valuation perspective, they're not that expensive. I just think there's a lot of problems, and we've had a pretty good run. 50% retracement of these moves, now they would be interesting. Like, if you got Macy's and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, in the next couple months it came out of favor and we got back to 22 or something on Macy's, that's interesting. But I don't know if I want to chase them this much.
Luke, any exposure?
I've never made money chasing stocks in my 18-year career.
Luke, any exposure to the retail sector?
No exposure to retail for me. This is one that Matt Kolb over in our office has been pounding the table on forever. And, you know, these stocks just spooked me, you know, again, when you've got so many of the household brands down in the single dollar range. I zoomed out a little bit on the ETF. And, yeah, it looks like we're back, you know, nearing – where we were a couple of years ago, and the all-time high in the XRT, that ETF is just a little bit over $50. So yeah, I mean, the market, obviously this is way underperformed the market as we've had the Trump rally and moved up before that. But it looks like we're starting to get back to some of these levels that we were at a handful of years ago.
And let's just check Amazon. It's just been, you know, hanging up here, consolidating near all-time highs. They did, you know, the big acquisition, been kind of quiet lately. Had a nice pullback here. Seems to be running into a little bit of resistance. I mean, these FANG stocks have been a little bit out of favor, but let's just check DKS here. And you know who gave us that one on the show? And man, we've been giving them a lot of love lately. Sean Udall. Remember he was talking about Dick's Sporting Goods when I think it was around the $24-$25 area. This one looks like it could be on the verge of filling a gap here. Dick's Sporting Goods.
It looks good short term. Yeah. I think if we can get up over 31, like a nice candle yesterday, retail's hot all of a sudden. You get thinner markets here. I think the retail stocks all look good for trades here from the long side. Trades only, though.
Gap filled to 33.86 there. So a lot of air in there, but as Dennis mentioned, several tops here. But this is kind of like what the XRT chart, the Macy's chart looked like. You have a move up consolidation. The shorter-term trend has been up, so consolidation being resolved to the upside. All right, 8:35 and 17 seconds here. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to bring back one of our old favorites, Tommy Lackey, managing partner and portfolio manager at Relativity Capital Advisors. Let me see if I can go on break here, or should we try Tommy on the hop here? Hold on for one quick sec. Welcome Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. I'm your co-host, Joel Alcon, along with Dennis Dick, and we have Luke Jacoby sitting in here for Spencer Israel, and Luke is getting some fans in the chat here. Terry Kern says, this Luke kid is good, but we got someone good on the line, and that's Tommy Lackey. Tommy, how you doing?
Doing great. How's everybody doing there today?
Good, good. We missed you over the last couple of weeks. You've been busy buying those calls and selling puts, I imagine. But just give us a little bit of the assessment for the market in 2017 and your expectations for 2018.
Well, I think the market continued to kind of grow on itself in 2017. You know, it's a you had the battle between the people who say that everybody doubts this rally and then the people on the other side who say everybody's euphoric. Which is nice. Let them keep arguing, and then just stick to your numbers and your charts, and I think you'll do better. But basically, 2017 was a strong year. It continued to show that there's still money there to play, and the money continued to rotate around instead of leaving the markets. And that's always most important to me, is to watch for the rotation. I used to always say that as long as the money moves somewhere as opposed to just leaving, we should be fine. Just make sure you know where it's going.
Very symptomatic of the market in 2017. If you're hitting the biotech, you're buying retail. If you're hitting the retail, you're buying the growth stocks. That's a great point. That's really buoyed this market. But Tommy, the reason we have you on the show is because you have a knack for charts. And I also, you know, noticed this year you're really incorporating some of the option action here. So I'm going to quit talking here, and I'm going to just go to the stocks. I'll let you give your quick take here, and if young Luke wants to throw something in, he will. But let's start with Cube, C-U-B-E. What are you seeing in the charts and the options markets?
Yeah, and just so you know, the option side definitely comes from my partner who's working with me on a new portfolio this year, Joe Kunkel at Options Talk. He does most of this research, not me, so I get to piggyback off of a lot of it. But Cube is basically one that looks like it's pulled back to the 50 EMA and is now trying to reverse. Yesterday was a strong day in a fairly weak market. The volume was low, but I think you've got to be fairly careful with looking for volume to be too high on holiday-type weeks like this. But you have this to where you can trade against a solid level at 28, and this one has about 1,350 February 25 calls that were bought in this one within the last month or so. And a lot of times when you see those bought in one chunk like that, it's a good sign that someone's coming in there. Now, I know 25 is below here, but the premium was almost $3. So you're running to where these people have about $28 in cost in there, which is where the stop comes in.
And you know what I like about this one? It had to rally up, pull back to, it did really break out from there, pull back to former support, but you got something to lean on here, right? You got away from the lows and the double bottom there. So good level to lean on. Okay.
And Tommy, a question that I have real quick. This is Luke hopping in. You know, how long of a trade is this for you? Is this something that you're looking to hold on to until February, or, you know, you're thinking shorter? Give me some insight there.
Okay. See, when we, okay. And that's a great question. And when we're looking at these, I think Joel made a good point. We're making a lot more money on these that have run and then have a base of some type. And then, like you said, you find you a good level to trade against. And Luke, that goes to your point. The reason we do want to get so close to those levels is because we are looking at these to where, you know, we'd love to think that we might keep them for, you know, 2, 3, 4 months. But in reality, as soon as this thing pops and shows us what it's going to do up there towards that 29.5 to 30 level, then we decide how long. You know, these guys know, and Luke, you'll learn as I do stuff over time here, is that these guys know that I'm very big on not setting hard targets. I like to set basically milestones or evaluation points. So this thing, when it jumps up to that high, if it stalls or doesn't keep performing or doesn't make me comfortable, we'll go ahead and move out. Take what we got and move on if it's not acting well. But it's more of just to see how it's going to act at that spot and then make our decision on the next level.
All right, moving into Bluebird Bio. And man, this thing, 222.03, back down to fill the gap in the lower 170 handle. Didn't have an eye on this one. What are you seeing here in the options flow and charts as well?
You know, blue is one where, yeah, you have to look at the options flow because it's ran hard and it's hard to evaluate this one just on the chart. It has come down. It's filled this gap. It's trying to hold above the 20 EMA, and it's right there basically bouncing between the 8 and the 20. It gets back over the 8 EMA, I think you've got a good opportunity. And if it goes below Friday's low, I think that's a good stop point for this one for now. You could reevaluate it around 160. But in this one, mid-December, especially the 15th, there were some good plays coming in to where they basically sold the February 180 puts to buy the 250-300 call spreads. Now, the other thing to mention to you, Joel, is that when we see this option flow and all that, we don't necessarily, you made the comment about buying calls and puts and things like that, we actually don't necessarily trade the options along with the flow. A lot of times we use it as our gauge of institutional money flow in general, so we may still be in the stock instead of necessarily just the options, just because it gives us a better risk reward based on what we're looking for. But blue is one that has that flow and then has a lot of flow going back into September that's in the 150 to 180 range. So it gives it some support in here.
Yeah, it's a wild stock there. It's pulled back. Okay, let's move on to ZAYO. This might be the first time I ever pulled this up on my platform. Zayo Group Holdings, Inc.com. What are you seeing in this one? Trying to hold the $36 area.
Yeah, and Zayo has been on and off our rate all year. It's been good to us a few times this year. We're not in it at the moment. But it is one to where the options flow tends to be a pretty good guide in this one to where it jumps in and out, and you can kind of see when they come towards this one or when they're leaving it alone. Right now, you're in the situation with Zayo that it's a nice back test into this gap. It didn't want to go too far into the gap, and it held the 20 EMA and reversed yesterday again in a not-so-strong market. So you run into the scenario where this one can move over yesterday's highs. You should have a trade back up to the highs at least, if not for another leg, because this one is basically backtesting that little breakout.
Our next one, Tower Semiconductor, TSEM, has had a nice run here in 2017, as you can see. Basis the monthly chart. Looks a little bit sleepy here. What are you looking at TSEM?
Well, and we find a lot of these and we like these that basically run up and then they just turn sideways and kind of somewhat go to sleep or really tighten up. Because again, the more they tighten up, the more our levels can be defined. And this one's a scenario where you have the 50 EMA below it, just around 33.19, which would be a good spot, or those lows right there. You know, you watch that 50 EMA, see how it acts. And then if it closes below that set of lows right there, it's a nice stop here. It's not too far away at all. But if this one breaks higher, as you see higher, a lot of times you'll see names like these when they tighten up that much. When they break, they can go, you know, 5%, 6%, 7%, 10% within 2 or 3 days. And that goes to Luke's point that, you know, a lot of times if we can get that kind of a pop and we enter at the right time, we're not going to be there much longer than 2 or 3 days, because why stick around and just wait for something to go wrong when you've already got that kind of opportunity out?
Rob Hood, you know Rob Hood would not listen to this segment and not put a stock in. Does Tommy like the surge in GME? It still has to shape up, but some good, interesting price action. GameStop, any thoughts on this chart?
I'll have to say that it is trying to shape up a little bit, but it's just too defined of a downtrend to me still. I still have the feeling that this one has a chance to fail here. You know, it's got to, if you could go really either way, you could trade it long against the 18 point, or you could trade it short against about 1950. But I'm still skeptical of this one. I think it goes back to what y'all were talking about in retail in general. I think a lot of the retail moves might be a little bit overdone short term, a lot of holiday cheer and things like that. And I feel that, you know, as much as I'm not a big fundamental guy, thinking through the GameStop story, I don't really understand how it thrives in new online gaming markets.
Tommy, let's jump over to home builders here. You got one on your list, Pulte Homes, PHM. What are you seeing, first of all? Talk about the home builders overall, because it's been an interesting year for them. They've had a pretty good run as of late. What are you seeing in the PHM chart here that you're liking or not liking?
you know, they've had a really good run in home builders throughout the first part of the year and the end of last year. And then basically they slowed down a little bit over in the month of December, which is fine because it's just building a nice little pattern. And the ITB is what I watch. That's the ETF I watch, not XHB. ITB is more actual home builders. XHB has more retailers in it. But then flipping to PHM in general, PHM is just such a tight pattern here as it came up to those highs, and it continues to tighten up. So it's one of those that you could play. I've talked to you guys before about the look both ways play. You had a good point that they did get kind of extended when they ran pretty hard in October, November. And now we've got a nice consolidation, which usually means it should resolve higher, but doesn't always. So you could actually look to play this as it breaks the lows if it does, or breaks the highs. So either way, one of the things that was played on this when I thought it looked like a decent play was on 12/13, someone put on 5,000 times the January 33 put and 34 call strangle. So they just said, fine, we don't know which way it's going to go. We're going to take both sides, figuring it's not going to stay in this tight of consolidation for another month.
In time,
another stock on your list here. Were you going to make another point on that one, Joel?
Luke.
Yeah, I was going to hop in with another question.
Yeah, go ahead, Luke.
Which is, Tommy, do you find that watching the options market is as telling for the ETFs as it is for some of the stocks that you mentioned?
No. Actually, options market for ETFs is almost the opposite, because ETFs are so heavily used for hedging against, you know, you get a lot of these hedge funds and things like that that'll have very, very concentrated portfolios in technology or something else, and they will use the ETFs to hedge on the other side. So it's difficult. I don't know well, but there are certain little things to read as far as the types of trades that are made as to whether they're actually directional trades in ETFs or whether they are hedging.
That's me, Tommy. And I'll tell you, you know, and I do a lot of statistical arbitrage, you know, stocks against the indexes. And I'll tell you, almost 99% of my trades on an ETF are hedging. So I would gather, when you're looking, you know, even at S&P volumes and that, most of those are not directional trades, almost all hedging. So because the pros are out there. Go ahead, Tommy.
It depends on how they're placed. You know, if you get some that you'll get some that depending on when they're placed and how they're placed, that you can tell they're more than just hedging. A lot of times they're timed very well. You get really big bazooka type huge trades that come in when everybody else is about to run for the doors. And you can just tell, and all of a sudden you'll have 125,000 IWM out of the money calls. And they'll buy, you know, I mean, and it's not huge delta, but it's basically a decent size enough to where it's still a $5-7 million trade. You can tell when some of those are bullish trades like that and their timing, and then how the market and the IV of the markets react right after those trades are taken.
Do you often see? My question would be, though, because like when the Nigerian brothers, and obviously they talk about options a lot, they're looking at these big trades thinking, oh, it's an insider that knows something. But on an index, there's no insider knowing it. There's no inside information on an index.
Correct.
So what would those big traders, do you see like a positive correlation between those big trades and then those guys being right?
Yes. On a couple times there, you know, it depends on where and how they look. I mean, they're not always right no matter what they
do. No,
I mean,
nobody can.
That's just not this game. But you know, earlier this year, before one of the bigger biotech moves, Joe pointed out a kind of unusual, I hate to use unusual options because everybody's using that now, but kind of a trade that stuck out as far as when it was placed and how the chart of that particular thing was looking at the time. And he found a couple other times in the last year that they've placed that same trade in that same area and they've worked very well. So it's also kind of getting to know that particular market. The same thing happened on XLK, is that a month or so ago when everybody was so bearish and so blah, blah about everything and that tech was about to be gone for good, you saw a couple of big, very timely trades in XLK options out of the money, not too far, but enough to where they weren't paying a huge premium. But it was still overall a $4-6 million trade. So you'll see those come in rarely, but most, you know, I agree with you that probably 80 to 90% of those are hedge trades.
All right, Tommy, let me touch on one more stock here, and this is interesting. Eagle Materials. Now, we have been talking about EXP is a symbol for you guys listening at home and on your iPods here. We've been talking about copper reaching its highest level since July 2014. You have oil hitting $60. Eagle Materials Inc. here. What is that? Is that in that sector? Is that what you're looking at? And tell us what you see on the chart.
No, I think Eagle Materials may be a cement company.
Okay.
If I'm correct. You know, sometimes I don't know that far into what the company does.
Who cares?
We don't need to know. We're technical analysts. We don't need to know what they do.
It's industrial goods. It's a cement company. But no, I mean, it's again, I pulled this one out on a scan of the charts, and it's that same feel of it ran, it pulled back, it held a decent level and has moved sideways a little bit. Looks like it's kind of anxious. And that's kind of where this one is. I think this one can blow back higher. And then if you look in the options market of it, you have basically the January 105 puts were sold, and you have some January 115 notable trades. Now, it's just not that it has a lot of OI. What Joe actually does is he pulls out each large trade, not that there's 8 million contracts in OI. It's that there's these four different people or four different times someone's gone in and bought 1,000 or 2,000 contracts at a time in a stock that might only typically trade 300 contracts in a day. And so they are big lumps that you're seeing to where some institutional player is deciding that he wants to put a little more than just a teaser in that.
We've been on the line with Tommy Lackey, managing partner, portfolio manager at Relativity Capital Advisors. Tommy, I tell you, we've missed you. And we want to get you back. I'm going to give a little Jewish guilt trip here. And maybe get Joe on or something. Maybe we'll work something out in 2018. Maybe you guys alternate once a month or something like that, because you give great input, the charts, the options activity. I know the chat, especially Rob Hood, likes it. So let's talk about that in 2018. Okay, buddy?
Well, I appreciate it, and we appreciate that. I will definitely do some talking. We're just really trying to get things running with this scenario we're doing, and we're excited about it. We've had a great 2017. We'll end up probably right about 35% on the year, Woo! So we're pretty happy.
All right.
Great
Thank
year.
You,
Congrats,
Tommy. Great year. All right.
Great to meet you.
All right, Dennis, 8:54 here. I wanted to
thank you guys.
Thanks. I wanted to do in a minute here what you did not know about Benzinga Pro with young Luke here. So, Dennis, any other imbalances or anything?
Quick imbalance look, and then we're going to hand it over to Luke here. So, just the one stepping on. There is actually a few sell imbalances here today, so it's interesting. Merck, 63,000 to sell. It's trading up. That's significant because these numbers, you know, on these light days, holiday trade, can actually move and push price around. You get one institutional player at the open, they can push price out down to maybe, you know, a price, you know, where it becomes attractive. General Mills, GIS, 68,000 to sell. That's significant as well. Twitter, small sell imbalance, 33,000 or 23,000 shares. Square, small buy imbalance of 45,000 shares. Caterpillar, 20,000 to buy. A few of the banks, Citigroup, 64,000 to sell. Morgan Stanley, 36,000 to sell. Bank America, 95,000 to sell. Now 105,000 to sell. That's growing a little bit there. So there's a few out there, Ford, 101,000 to sell, I just noticed as well. There's a few little sell imbalances here. I don't know if this can put pressure on it, but it's interesting to note. We'll see what happens in the next 35 minutes.
All right, Dennis, we're going to let you go here a few minutes early, or if you want to listen, if you have anything to add with Pro here. I'm going to just take a 30-second break here, switch things up to get Luke set up. So we'll be back in 1 minute. Welcome back, traders. I'm just going to turn things over to Luke here for a little segment. Three things you did not know about Benzinga Pro.
All right, guys. Thanks for continuing to listen to me. Joel's letting me do this segment on Benzinga Pro. Benzinga Pro has been a little bit of my baby over the past couple years. I just wanted to take this opportunity to show you guys some of the cool things that we're doing with it. We had a fellow news desker, Nick Donato. I showed him how to do something this morning, and it turned our calendar data from useless to useful to him, or at least that's what he tells me. So first things up, I'm going to show you how to filter an earnings calendar by your watch list. So during earnings season, you know, there's hundreds of companies reporting per day. There may be only 10 or 20 that you care about if you are anything like me. You don't need to see all the future dates for, you know, who knows what material stock. You just want to see when your Apple, or in my case, when your Lumber Liquidators is reporting. So I'm going to go ahead and click on the calendar widget. I've got a button that says watch lists up in the top right corner. And I'm going to go ahead and click February 2017. It's a watch list I made for the basket of stocks that I owned in February of 2017. And I can see right beautifully the historical reports, and more importantly for me, all of the upcoming dates. So I can see, all right, I've owned some Bank of America and JP Morgan. They're both out on 112. SB Financial, 118. And Ethan Allen out on 124. All right, guys, feature number two I've got for you is our pre-market and after-hour screener. I'm going to go ahead and press the screener button on the left side of my screen. And here what I've got right in front of me is a list of the best and worst performing stocks. You know, great for trade ideas. Super important for our news desk. If there's ever anything that's moving, we want to make sure that we're telling you why. So we can do a quick scan down here and see if there's anything that we do not have news out on yet. You'll see right now it is set to the regular session. If I go ahead and press on pre-market, and I always like to change it to the full session versus just the last 15 minutes. You know, I can see Watt, we talked about that one earlier, up 80%. Nova Lifestyle, that's a furniture company getting into blockchain, up 22%. NII Holdings, up 18%. Again, great way to see what's in play heading into the trading day. All right, and last but not least, the feature that you've all been waiting for, Joel previewed it for a second, is the way to spot any sort of blockchain news within Benzinga Pro. You know, this is the way to get the LTs before they happen. They run up to from a dollar to 15 bucks. So I'm going to go ahead and open up my news feed here. And in the news feed, there is a search bar right up at the top. I'm just going to go ahead and type in blockchain. And what I've got is I've got a real-time news feed of any headline that contains the word blockchain. So for example, I see ticker SCFR. This company is saying that it's going to be adding blockchain assets to its portfolio. Nova Lifestyle, the one that we talked about this morning, I see that it's adding, it's doing a digital experience for blockchain, even though it is a furniture company. We talked about Peritum yesterday. TEUM, again, these are all companies moving into blockchain cryptocurrency space. If you want to catch some of these, you know, two baggers, this is the way that I recommend keeping an eye on it.
All right, let's see if there's any questions here coming out of the chat here. I am signed on as Spencer, so don't get excited. Spencer's not back. Luke, real quick here. I'm not sure how many of our people in the chat have Benzinga Pro, but what should they do? Who should they contact here at Benzinga if they'd like to, a free trial?
Yep. If you want to hop onto a free trial, feel free to shoot an email to vipaccounts@benzinga.com. That is a very important people, all of you in our chat, and we will make sure that you are taken care of and set up. Or if you prefer, I'll take you over to the homepage. And if you're not logged in, there's going to be a button that says start my free trial right in the middle of the screen. So go ahead and get started. You know, again, what this product is if there is a reason for a stock to move or a stock's moving, we want to give you the reason why. It's great for trade idea, for trade generation. It's great for saving you time, you know, when you're trying to trade and something's happening and you don't know why. And if there ever is, you know, some research you need our news desk to do, or there is a reason why a stock's moving and you can't seem to figure it out, you can actually go ahead and chat with our news desk. It's what this button is down in the bottom right corner of our screen. I've got Brent here who runs our news desk, and I can ask him, you know, something like, why is Watt up? Or, you know, any upcoming catalysts for LL. You know, trying to make your lives easier, go ahead and give the trial. If nothing else, I'd love to get some feedback from you guys on the product. I'll be around all week on the show, so happy to hear it.
And also, if you need help navigating through it the first time, we can always have Mike Marshall, head of sales here, give you a call. I believe it's Mike Marshall at Benzinga.com. He's great on the phone, so you can contact him for a free trial as well. All right, we went a few minutes over here, but I think it was well worth it. S&P futures are trading up 250 at 89.50. We got some pesky highs here in the upper 2690 handle coming down on the downside. I'd like to get a chance maybe to buy this thing unchanged on the day. We talked about the movers, and we will be back with you tomorrow morning. Luke, are you going to join us again tomorrow?
I'll be here.
Okay, maybe we'll do a little bit more on what you need to know about Benzinga Pro. So thank you all very much. Have a great trading day. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning.
All right, guys, good luck.